give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the first episode of the rebranded podcast, now known as the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. I'll tell you all about it after this little ditty is finished. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. Everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. Everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, internet? This is the first episode of the rebranded podcast known as the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. I am Ray Moraldi, but everyone, except my family, calls me Ray Ray because my name is so nice that you have to say it twice. To those that don't know me, and that's basically everyone that is listening to me right now, I am an NBA blogger, and I have been for 6 years now. If you're on Twitter, you probably know me as the No Look Pass. You can follow me on there, by the way. I run a site called the No Look Pass, which has been pretty much inactive because I have been doing most of my NBA work at a site called that NBA Lottery Pick. I have also done work for Forum Blue and Gold, Lakers Nation, and Slam. And you've probably seen my terrible work cited by the LA Times, ESPN, NBC, CBS, Sports Illustrated, etc. If that's not a humble brag, then I don't know what is. You've probably also heard my voice mostly through 175 episodes of the podcast called The Chronicles of Crotty, and there are several reasons why I'm rebranding this into what it is today. First off, I can only use John Crotty's name for so long. John Crotty used to be a backup point guard in the NBA and has now become a studio analyst for the Miami Heat. As time went on, it's become confusing, really, because people don't know if it's actually Crotty in the podcast. No, but he's been on here a few times, so the confusion has to stop. I had to drop the name. And my apologies to Mr. Crotty, who I know loved having a podcast named after him. So after nearly 6 years of the show, it was time to move on. Another reason for the rebranding, I have been thinking of expanding for a while now. For a lot of the time, I'll still talk basketball because I'm not dumb. I know what my audience is. But for some episodes, I will talk to non-basketball personalities and talk about whatever the hell we want. So basically, I did not want to be pigeonholed to just basketball. I mean, I do have a lot of interests. And you probably noticed on Twitter, but I'm known for quite a few things outside of basketball. I'm a 30-something guy that's known for listening to terrible, mostly 90s pop music. And I'm also known for to do karaoke to a lot of these songs. And people also know me as some obsessed Spice Girls fanatic after I live tweeted Spice World in Christmas Eve of 2010. That got blown out of proportion and suddenly I'm about girl power. Yeah. Funny how things work. Other things I'm known for, I watch wrestling, so I'll probably have someone knowledgeable or even a few of my wrestling friends. I like video games, so I'll probably have people on here that are into gaming as guests. And I was heavily into the anime / cosplay community around 98 to like 2006. So I'll have friends that are in that hobby as guests as well. As I said, this podcast is where I talk to friends and personalities about my interests or whatever's hot on the streets right now. So it's almost like a variety podcast of some sort, but if you know me, you're gonna get a lot of what I'm known for, basically, on the internet. So, but I'm not ignoring my basketball audience. Like, I know that is my, everyone knows me as an NBA blogger, so you're still gonna get a lot of basketball guests, but we'll also talk about, like, a lot of different things, with my basketball guests. It's not just throughout basketball anymore. It's everything that I'm interested about. So, speaking of which, let's dive into it. My first guest is someone that I've never had on a podcast before, but he keeps insisting that I have. Matt Moore from CBS Sports and founder of Hardwood Paroxysm on the very first episode of the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. Let's get into it. I am on the line with CBS Sports' Matt Moore. And you know what? Seriously, you have never been on any of my podcasts ever. I'm telling you that right now.
I do not believe you. I know I've been on the podcast. I know I have. I remember doing it. I remember the sound of your voice on a podcast. I know I've been on with you before.
I looked through 175 episodes of the previously Chronicles of Karate podcast, and I have never seen your name on there. Like, I know I asked you before, but you have never been on. Honestly. Seriously.
I don't believe you. I know I have. I remember being on a blog with you. I don't know. I must be going crazy, but I remember doing this. I remember being on a podcast.
Well, anyway, since you said you've been going crazy, like, I mean, how did you get started this entire NBA blogging mess? Was this the end game to begin with?
No. You know, honestly, it was 2007, and I've been an avid blog reader for years. I read all sorts of blogs. I read everything possible because my work situation was I would work really hard for about 5 months out of the year, and the rest of the time was waiting for projects. And so I had a lot of, and I'd have small stuff to do, but I had a lot of time to kill. And so I got really heavily involved in reading blogs. And then I was getting married, and my wife was like, "Well, I kind of need you to not go to the bar every night." I was like, she was like, "I need you to not go to the bar every night." She's like, "You need a hobby." And I was like, "Yeah, that's probably fair." So I asked a friend of mine if he wanted to start an NBA blog, because we used to just go and sit in this dive bar and watch basketball games and talk about it. And so I was like, "Do you want to start a blog?" And he's like, "Sure." And so that was really kind of the start. Was I just did it because I was like, "Oh, like, you know, I like being creative and I liked writing. I'd always liked writing and never thought I could do it professionally." And so I was like, "Oh, yeah, we'll start this." And then I was fortunate enough to get linked a few places. One by Henry Abbott. It was really great. And he was really supportive. And then I got to know Tom Ziller because I loved reading Sacktown Royalty and Fan House. And I started talking with him, and he would link me and whatever, and so I started to get kind of a name. And then one day, I was talking to Tom and was like, "Well, you know," I was like, "Well, I, you know, I'd obviously love to order Fan House eventually at some point, but I know that's probably not going to happen." And Tom was like, "Wait, you want to work for Fan House?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I would love to write for Fan House." And, so Tom said, "Hang on, give me 10 minutes. And then 10 minutes later, Tom said, "Can you start tomorrow?" And that was it. And so I met Brett Polakoff, who's now at NBC Sports, and I met Matt Watson, who's now a fantastic editor at SB Nation. I met Will Brinson, who is my NFL guy at CBSSports.com, and Ed Ziller, who's obviously the big wig at SB Nation. So that was kind of my first pro job, and it just kind of went from there.
It wasn't the perfect storm, wasn't it? Because around 2007, 2008, I came in 2008. Like, there were hardly any NBA blogs going on, right? So it was just perfect.
Well, it's funny because, like, no one would care to read this, but I would always have thought about doing either a series of posts or a mini book on kind of the history of NBA blogging, just because there's so many fans that are into it so hard. And
yeah,
there's Generation One, which is Lang Whitaker and Henry Abbott and Tom Ziller. Mm-hmm. And Kelly Dwyer, and Free Darko. And that's like, that gets you through Generation 1 pretty succinctly. And then Generation 2 is most of the SB Nation guys that kind of came in and started building their own sites, and those guys kind of provide a foundation of, okay, every single day we can go and find something to kind of read.
Yeah.
And then I'm more Generation 3, and then everything kind of after. And Generation 3 and 4 were the first ones that, you know, Generation 2 and 1 are like, "You want to do this? Are you insane? Like, this isn't any..." And then Generation 3 and 4 were like, "This is amazing. Like, this is really awesome." And so I think Generation 3 and 4 made it into more of a community, not necessarily because of what they did, just because there were so many of us that wanted to talk about basketball. And that kind of, I think, built the framework for what it eventually became.
Was basketball your favorite sport growing up, or have you always been into that? Because, I mean, I don't know, some people do NBA blogging, but they're really into baseball or football or whatnot.
Basketball has always been the love. From when I started liking sports, basketball was the one that I found the most compelling, because the way the sport is played, the style and the grace of it, the power, like, there is something entrancing about a violent dunk. There is something about that is just different. And I also like that basketball always seemed more fun than football. It just seemed more intrinsically fun, where football is intense, and it's like a macho atmosphere, and you're not supposed to have any fun, and this is all serious, and there's war comparisons, and all that kind of stuff. And, like, you know, the NBA side, when I was growing up, it was, you know, videotapes of guys being silly, and, like, blooper reels, and, like, stuff, and, you know, the mascots are insane, and the season is so long, you have all these little moments kind of crept in there. There was always a lot of fun that kind of went on, and you combine that with just the fact that, I used to play a lot of basketball with my friends, and I just got really super into it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Like, I've only seen you play ball once, and that was during that summer league in 2010 when we all played the whole SB Nation versus True Hoop thing. That's the only time I saw you play ball. So, did you play in high school? Like, do you try for the team or anything like that?
No, I am not athletically gifted whatsoever. Like in any sort of capacity, which brings a fair question of like what possible right do you have to write about the sport as much as you do, but
right.
No, like I played in my town there was a youth center, and at the youth center it was nothing but it was four big courts, and they would use it for, you know, corporate events or community events or whatever, and like they would have summer classes. But during the summer, it was just open. So my friends and I would just go down there and play street ball. And that's all it was. It was just ugly, you know, no blood, no foul street ball. I love playing. I got to be okay in high school and in college where I was, like, not a problem to be on the floor with. Like, I wasn't such a negative that I couldn't be on the floor. But after college, it got really tough for me to find a game because I was moving around so much and I was with, I was, you know, making new friends so consistently. I moved around a lot after college. I actually really miss it. I miss having a court to go to and just play.
All right. So on Twitter, you're pretty polarizing.
Good Lord.
I know. Like, and there's been talk about you, like, I don't know, leaving Twitter and whatnot, but
I mean, look, if I'm gone one day, it's not a story. It's just a guy stopped being on Twitter. Like, this isn't a thing. And like, it sounded the other night when I started talking to Kev about it was, it sounded like I was basically, not like I hate, like, obviously I would never compare it to a suicide, but like a call for help, you know, and like everyone's like, oh, I love your account, don't leave. And like, I wasn't asking for that. I was just messing around. Like, you know, and because I thought about it, because I think most of it is, so there's a couple of things to it. One, the click-through rates for Twitter are pitiful. That's what nobody really wants to, like, acknowledge or talk about, in that you don't actually pick up much traffic from Twitter. It looks really great that there's, you know, 50,000 people that pay attention to me and follow me on Twitter, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But I'm not actually making that much traffic. Facebook dwarfs it. I mean, it is planet-sized to ant-size in terms of the reach that you get on Facebook versus Twitter. So would my time be better spent spending more time on Facebook and just writing more? Like, I started to realize, like, I spend a lot of my time not writing because I'm talking about things on Twitter, and I'm like, well, why am I not just writing? Because I would rather writing. And because, you know, and I loved it for a few years, and there's parts of it I still like. When something's crazy happening and we're all making jokes and everyone's retweeting each other and like the game and everyone's flipping out over this game, I really love that. And I like talking about basketball with smart people. It's real. You can't have a conversation on Twitter. This is what I've realized. There aren't conversations on Twitter. There's just, all you're doing is making a series of statements in 140 characters. There's no nuance. It's possible to it. And we try and jam nuance into it, and it's really unfair because, like, a lot of times, people get mad at something I say, and I'm like, well, that's not really what I meant, because I can't jam everything that I want to say into 140 characters. But there is this, like, really addictive property to it. I'll probably stick around. I'm trying to work my way and spend more time doing other things. But it's also, like, you know, you start to realize, because people are like, I've been accused of, like, you have no life, you're a loser, like, all you do is spend your entire life on Twitter, and I'm like, well, that's not really accurate. Like, I have a son, I have a wife, like, I'm pretty caught up on movies and books and films, so I don't feel like I'm actually that lost. But there is, I could be spending more time doing those things, and so I've thought about that. And it's also, it's difficult when I feel like the perception of me from colleagues that I really respect shifts because how much of an antagonizer I am on Twitter.
I was gonna ask that because, like, are you the type that's just argumentative? Like, do you just like to have a good argument or debate, per se?
Well, I think there's a couple of talks about, like, I like talking to smart people about basketball, so if I disagree with somebody, that's part of it, is if somebody says something and I go after them and it's a writer, it's typically because I'm like, I really respect you and I want to know exactly how it is that you can believe this thing that I feel is inherently untrue. And so I'm trying to kind of work it out and see different things, because it's also, if somebody says something and I argue with them and then like four other really smart people are like, no, he's right, I'm usually going to be like, I must be wrong on this. Like, I can't be the right one. Because I don't trust my opinion over, you know, five writers that I really respect. I trust those people way more. So it helps me kind of, and then like what I'll do is I'll be like, all right, well, I got to go back and watch some video because I have not seen enough of this to see what they're saying. So I'll go back and watch, you know, Damari Carroll's, you know, difficulty in scoring at the rim, or I'll go back and watch, you know, Kyrie Irving's on ball defense, like whatever it is. I'll spend more time paying attention to that, trying to see what it is that these other people are seeing. And then there's the other side of it, which is I love exposing fan hypocrisy and stupidity. And I don't know why. I don't know why I care. But there's something about it where it drives me it doesn't drive me crazy as much as it used to, but it amuses me. But Cleveland fans this year, you know, have gone from, that's right, we got LeBron, yeah, we're going to win the title, too, well, you know, we thought it was going to take a little bit of time, too, well, you know, next year is when we're going to be really good. And I'm like, well, no, you guys thought you strutted and crowed, especially over Heat fans, when LeBron came back. And over guys like me that said it was a ridiculous notion, because why would anybody do that? And now you're saying why we all thought it was ridiculous that he would do that, because the team has no infrastructure. I'm constantly, I guess, chasing for proud fans to admit that their team is vulnerable, but that's folly. There's no reason to do that. So there's a lot of reasons I'm on Twitter, but that's kind of where I think I get to be the worst, is when I'm basically pursuing fans to get them to be like, yeah, you're right, we suck.
And the thing is, like, you've mentioned several times that you're a happy guy, but everyone thinks you're just miserable and you just want to go after everybody.
Yeah, that's a weird thing that I think is developed. Like, I make a lot of jokes. I don't understand how I could be this miserable human being if I'm making a lot of jokes. And I don't understand how I could be a miserable human being if I'm talking about how great some of these teams are, which I do a lot. It just doesn't get as much of a reaction as the negative stuff. Like, I spend, and it's partially, it's also just like, you know, for me, I want to be married, and I am. And I want to have kids, and I am. And there's people that don't want to be married and don't want to have kids, and that's great that they're not. But, like, I have the life that I want. I stay at home. I work from home, often in my pajamas, able to eat the food that I like whenever it is available to me, usually watching the things and consuming the media that I want to. I don't have a boss ducking into my office every 10 seconds to see if I've got those TPS reports ready. Like, my life is fantastic. And so, you know, when people say, like, I'm miserable, I take that really to heart. And that does actually get me to start thinking, like, man, I need to probably, one, start spending less time on Twitter, and two, start focusing more on the positive. Because why do I care about what people think? I don't, but I would hate for any reasonable human being to really believe that I was like that.
Do you take it upon yourself to be kind of like the basketball Twitter dad? It seems like, because you've mentored so many people over the years, and it's great. You even mentored me at one point, you know, and I really appreciate that. So, like, did you take it upon yourself to do that sort of thing?
I mean, no, like, I don't think I'm a Twitter dad. Like, I think if there's anybody that's, like, a basketball dad, it's probably, you know, it's Henry Abbott or, you know, Tom Zeller or
So what are you, the uncle, then?
I don't know. I will say this, though. I think I want smart people to succeed. And I do want to help people. And if you're like a good dude that has a smart take on basketball, and you say, like, I would rather do this than do whatever else it is I have to do, like, I want to help those people. And so we've been really fortunate for Paroxysm. We're at now 28 people have written for hardwoodparoxysm.com, have gone on to have a full-time job in either sports media or working for teams. And that's way more than any other entity can say. Really, any other entity. Like, SB Nation probably has more people that work for them, but in terms of getting outside gigs, nobody's really stacked up with us on that end. And we're proud of that. Like, we want to help guys get gigs because there's a lot of good basketball out there. And We try and be a place of diversity. We try and be a place of opposing viewpoints. That's one thing that, like, I've really had to hammer some of the editors about is just because we all tend to agree on a viewpoint doesn't mean, here's an example. We've got a writer that, this person is leaning toward using more wins produced metrics. They're starting to write more about that. And that metric has a real negative connotation with most of the guys that I work with closely on the site. And so one of them was like, well, I'm getting a little bit nervous because this person is using a lot of wins produced. And my response was, that's good. Like, we want as many viewpoints. Are the points that they're making coherent? Yes. Okay, then we should. If they make good points, that's all that matters. If the writing is entertaining, that's all that matters. And on Twitter, I go too far sometimes where I'm like, you don't want to do this. Like, you don't, and it's like, it's none of my business. Like, it's none of my business what somebody says or does or how they perform with their life. It's just none of my business. So I could take it too far, but I do try and somebody, and also be somebody that if it's somebody I know has intentions of getting a gig and they're going way too out on a limb or they're doing something that's inappropriate that could look bad to an employer, I do tend to be like, yeah, you want to rein this in. Like, think about what you're doing because you don't want to, like, think about how you're being perceived, which is really funny because I have like 200 and, you know, however many tweets, and I tweet a lot of like exacerbate stuff and I'll curse sometimes. And so you can easily make the same argument about me. But I do hope that if I cross a line, friends would come back and be like, you don't want to do this. Like, back up.
We're going to come right back to this interview with Matt Moore after this little break. In the meantime, enjoy the music, sing along, dance along. It's fun.
This is Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
I think I did it again. I made you believe we're more than just friends. Oh, baby, it might seem like a crush, but it doesn't mean that I'm serious. 'Cause to you, oh my, he said and says that he's just so stuck with me. Oh, baby, goodbye. I did it again. I played with your heart. Got lost in the game. Oh, baby, baby, you think I'm in love? That I'm sent from above.
It's just what you expect from a Ray Ray podcast. In any case, here we go. Back to the interview with CBS Sports' Matt Moore. Okay, so pretend friends or you're with your wife and your son. You overhear some people talk about basketball. How do you feel around that time? Because personally, when I'm in about having a good time, unless we're playing ball, I kind of want to talk about it. Do you feel the same way?
I mean, it depends. You know, I think, you know.
I mean, it's become a job for us now, you know. I mean, this is my job now, and it's like sometimes I just want to get away from it.
Yeah. You know? For me, there's really kind of a separation of, like, if I decide, like, I need to get away from the NBA for a night, then I really am, like, I don't want to check scores, I don't want to check the phone, I don't want to be plugged in, I don't want to get texts, I just kind of want to be doing whatever, especially, like, if I'm watching a movie or something, I'm just like, tuned out. If somebody, I don't know, I like talking with people about it because I do, one thing I like is I like getting the perspective of people that are outside of our tight circle. I like talking to people that don't have any sort of frame of reference for basketball Twitter or basketball blogs or the real minutia because you get kind of a sense of the general NBA fan, which is a huge part of what the NBA is always chasing. So I actually kind of like getting the perspective of people outside of it and, I like talking to people in general. It's one of the journalist-y things about me is I do like talking to people and finding out, like, why they like the league and what are the things they like about the league and how they get into it. And so, I was at Telluride a few years ago and I was doing, I was volunteering, for the festival, for the film festival. Mm-hmm. And I happened to be working with a guy that, he noticed me checking NBA scores. He's like, oh, are you an NBA fan? I was like, yeah. And I was like, actually, you know, I'm actually a writer. He's like, oh, what site do you write for? And I was like, well, I write for CBSSports.com. He's like, you're Matt Moore? And I was like, uh-oh. But he was really excited to talk about it. And he was like, there's like a Knicks fan that does his own music production, and like he writes a rap blog, and it's like a real interesting conversation about the Knicks. So I don't know, you meet, the game's fun to talk about. I think more than the other sports, the NBA is the most fun to talk about.
We've already talked about ball here, so I'm going to give you a few teams here and tell me if their fans should panic, all right? I'm going to give you five teams here. Clippers, should the fans panic about the Clippers?
No. I think that they're going to be better by the end of April than they are now. I think that any team, I think when you look at the teams that are struggling right now, beyond the Spurs, the one team that you look at and go, they'll be fine, is the Clippers, because we know that they've got a good coach, we know that they've got a good point guard, we know they've got a good all-star power forward, and we know that they've got good supporting players. I think they need to make a trade. They do need to make a trade to improve that bench because it's a disaster. But I think that by the end of April, they'll be in a better position than they're in now.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Spurs. Should their fans panic?
No, they're the Spurs. They're gonna be fine. They're gonna go on some. They're gonna go on a 15-game winning streak. They'll lose a back-to-back when he sits the starters on a national televised game. They'll win 15 more in a row, and they'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
The Raptors. They've been on a losing streak as of late. Should they panic?
I mean, no, they shouldn't panic. I mean, they're still number two in the East. They're going to be a good team. They need to temper their expectations a little bit. This isn't a championship team. It's just not. This is the team this year where everyone is on them, and I am just like, I do not see and understand what you guys are saying. Like, it's great that they're winning games. That's fantastic, even though they played about a zillion games at home. They rely on Lou Williams, Gravis Vasquez, and Patrick Patterson to be a bench core that carries them for games. That is not a core you can believe in. That is not a quality bench.
Would it surprise you if they reached the Eastern Finals?
No, because if Rose gets hurt, as much as Jimmy Butler and Pau Gasol are carrying Chicago, if Rose goes down, the way that you defend Chicago inherently shifts. So they could get past Chicago. The Wizards are inherently soft. Cleveland's obviously inherently, like, they are inherently soft. Like, they're just not a tough matchup. I think the Hawks would out-execute them into oblivion. But if they get the right matchup, I think they can make the Eastern Conference Finals. I just don't believe, and it's even possible that they could make a finals run. It's not like the Raptors making the finals. I'd be like, this is unbelievable. This is your core. This is what you're going forward with. Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Jonas Valanciunas, Gravis Vasquez, Patrick Patterson, and Terrence Ross. That's your core? I don't know. We'll see what happens.
You're just not buying it. Okay. You mentioned the Bulls. You know, Derrick Rose, we don't know about his health from day to day, so should their fans panic?
I mean, they shouldn't panic, obviously. They look awesome. I think it's encouraging that he doesn't have to carry them. Like, his workload is so low on a night-by-night basis. He can miss games and they'll still win, and he can take games and kind of play in the background and they'll still win. So, mm-hmm. I think they have every reason to be really confident. I think the problem is none of those teams, like, in the East, they just don't stack up with mm-hmm. the Western Conference teams. Like, none of them are as good as the top four teams in the West.
Mm-hmm. And the Cavaliers.
I would. I mean, mm-hmm. the two trades in a week is a pretty good sign of panic. I would panic if I were them. David Blatt, I don't think, is the guy, and I think that they need drastic changes to their culture. I think LeBron needs to lead more. You know, we'll see. They still have a lot of talent. You look at them, and they're still really talented. Like, everyone's underestimating how talented this team is in order to make excuses for them, but they've got to fundamentally change the way they play. I said this last night on a radio spot. They have to find an identity. I don't know who they are. What's their identity right now? That's what they have to, I think, kind of figure out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so pleasant surprise so far this season.
Playoff surprise?
Pleasant surprise. Anything. Player, team,
the Hawks,
whatever.
The Hawks getting past the racism scandal in the offseason and becoming the top team in the East. That's an awesome story.
That is something, because I remember they were the third seed last year before Horford got hurt, and then now they're complete, and now they're all... They're the number one team, so it's pretty awesome. Biggest disappointment?
The Hornets.
Hornets?
Yeah, I thought they were going to win. I thought they were going to win the division. That's how good I thought they were going to be.
Wow.
Yeah. And they are an epic disaster. So I'm really disappointed in everything that has to do with Charlotte. They're just a bummer to watch.
What's changed? What do you think really changed?
They needed to keep Josh McRoberts, and they needed to bolster their shooting without taking a spot up front, and they needed a rim protector, and they didn't really address any of those issues, and they thought they could get away with their scheme, and their scheme has not been as good this year.
And Lance didn't move the needle at all. In fact, they kind of went down with him, so. Okay. So, Matt Moore, what's on the bucket list for you? You're pretty much living the dream in a way.
No, come on, man. You know, it's still tough. Like, I have money concerns like everybody else. I have things I'm stressed out about in my career, especially now. Like, there's so many good writers doing so much good work right now. It's so hard to do.
They're really hard.
Competitive and innovative and stuff like that. So for me, it's like I've got to get better at interviews. I've got to get better features. I've got to get better at reporting. I've got to actually get quote sources. I've got to be a better writer. I've got to write more compelling stuff. Like it's an everyday thing. Like I want to get better. That's my thing. I want to get better.
What's your typical day? Because I know you have a wife and it's pretty keeping you busy as is. So
yeah, so like my kid wakes me up at like between 7:30 and 8:30, and I usually go downstairs and pop on the computer and start checking on Twitter and see what's going on, make sure there's no news that everyone's freaking out about, and then I start reading the key stuff that I need to read off of SB Nation's newsletter, and then just looking around and seeing what people are writing and what people are talking about, and then take a kid to daycare, come back, have some coffee, start writing, and then you know really try and figure out what are the 2 to 3 things that I really want to focus on writing today and do that. And then if I have games that night, if I'm on shift for CBS, then that's a whole adventure and ripping video and keeping up with 13 games at once.
Yeah, I don't think they understand how hard this job is, really, because you have to be alert 24/7, basically.
I wouldn't say it's hard. It's a drain, but just I've had jobs that were genuinely tough. Like I was working in bars running poker games, and that's tough.
Yeah, but I mean, you just can't fill in someone and says, "Hey, do Matt Moore's job," right? Like, you just can't do that.
I think a lot of people could. I'm not sure that they would do it with as much zeal. And that's the thing is, like, I got to work harder in order to keep this job because if I don't make it something that's hard to reach, then I'm at risk of losing it, and I don't want to go back to an office.
So. Right? Would you want your son to be an NBA blogger?
I think it'd be weird. I don't know what technology and communication is going to be like when he's older, but.
That's true too. Like weird. In 20 years from now,
I hope that he's able to go back and find my writing and be like, "Oh, this is cool that my dad wrote." So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. For the young people that want to get into this crazy business that we're in right now, what advice do you want to give them?
Read everything. Read as much as you can. Read smart people. Read people like Tom Ziller and Mike Prada. Read stuff from guys like Zach Harper and James Herbert. Read stuff from guys like Royce Young. And read as much as you can, find out new outlets, read as much as possible, and write every day. You have to write every single day. Writing is a muscle that you have to hone, and you need to work on it. And if you do not do that, you're not going to compete.
And even read the silly stuff that Rem Morali puts out there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. In any case, Matt Moore, seriously, it's good talking to you. Thanks for everything you've done for me and for the basketball community. And I'm telling you, this is our first podcast together.
Hey, Ray, it was really good to talk to you again. I'm really glad to be on your podcast. Thanks for having me on again, and I'll be glad to come back on again anytime.
Seriously, Matt, thank you. All right?
Thanks, Ray. Hey, everyone, I'm Matt Moore from CBSSports.com. Listen to Ray Ray's Fundamental as much as you can, as often as you can, because it's awesome, he's awesome, the NBA is awesome, and you are awesome. Have a great day.
So that's all I got. Follow Matt Moore on Twitter at HPBasketball. Check out his stuff at CBSSports.com. Again, not many people know this, but Matt has helped me throughout my career as an NBA blogger, and I promise you, he is a nice guy, a happy man. He is not miserable. Thanks again, Matt. As for my basketball stuff, you can check me out at that NBALotteryPick.com, and sometimes you can catch some of my other basketball stuff at thenolookpass.com and forumblueandgold.com. If you want, you can follow me on Twitter at TheNoLookPass, where I just talk about everything. And if you have Instagram, follow me at ThinkRayRay, because that's what you should do. You should think RayRay. Once again, thank you so much for listening to me. Gal Pal Squad, thank you so much for taking care of me. And just remember, RayRay is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Till the next episode, party people!
Well, I like the fact that you have a friend, RayRay.
Yeah, everybody should have a Ray
Ray. I'm gonna solicit a Ray Ray to befriend. somewhere out in the world.
Game over, yeah! Of course that came back. It's part of Ray Ray. Moded.